There is no stopping the Christmas juggernaut. It starts, I think, sometime around mid-October, which is when I think I first saw the Christmas trees for sale in Sainsbury's home base. And by the beginning of December, that juggernaut is in full flight. It is trundling massively down the motorway, and there is no stopping it. But we Christians in Advent are called to something else. Perhaps there is no time, no other time in the year when Christians are more out of kilter with the predominant culture around us. We hopefully all mark this season of Advent in one way or another, maybe hopefully in several important ways. We love to light our Advent candle, and we have an Advent calendar. Well, actually, we have two, so that both our children can have one of those funny chocolates behind. Anyway, we do. And maybe there are other things that you like to do as well. But even those things which are specifically Advent rather than Christmas give the impression of the countdown to Christmas, and it goes all the way, getting ever nearer the day. But as Christians, we are called to think something different. And as Bishop Richard said at the beginning, Advent is about waiting, and waiting for the coming of God. Not just Christmas Day waiting, but for the coming of God into the world in a whole variety of ways. Not just a baby born in a stable, but the God who is with us now in our lives, and the God who comes to establish his kingdom on earth, and who comes in judgment in a day yet to be known. Hence the reading that we had, which certainly was not very Christmassy, was it? Well, the Gospel, actually Thessalonians neither. It was a warning to be aware, to be alert, to be on your mettle, because something amazing is going to happen just around the corner, sooner than we think. A coming day of judgment, events and portents of events yet to come. They must not be missed in all the excitement of preparing for the arrival of a baby. And we can't forget that. But let us not forget other things too. For the promise of that arrival was long foretold. Jesus did not simply arrive as a baby in Bethlehem unannounced. There was, through the entire history of Israel, a premonition of something yet to come, which was not known quite at the beginning, but became increasingly known, waiting for one who will come to us as a Messiah, as the Anointed One, to be our King. Not simply the King of our hearts, the Lord of our lives, but the King of a kingdom established on earth that we will see and know. And that promise and that expectation can be seen right down through the account of the prophets of the Old Testament and elsewhere too. And in the readings that we will hear in the carol service, in these weeks to come as well through Advent, we will hear of that promise, not always worked through in great detail, not always exactly as it turned out in Bethlehem, but much like it. A long-awaited Messiah that we each year prepare to receive, one who comes as a king. Well, I'm sure you will not have failed to notice the furore this week surrounding a film made by the Church of England intended to be put into cinemas up and down the land. Well, you're not going to be able to see it in the cinemas because it's been banned. It will not be. Has anybody seen it yet? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Well, 500,000 people have seen it online. So I think the communications department of the Church of England don't need to be too sad, because the money they spent has resulted in a lot of people seeing it. Such are the joys of marketing, that you can have what looks like a disaster turns out to be a victory. And the film, when you do, I commend it to you. It's a beautiful film. It's only a minute long. It's not complicated. It's the words of the Lord's Prayer. Nothing more. Well, it is a bit more because there are some lovely pictures. I think a bit of music. But it's essentially the Lord's Prayer. Interestingly, the modern form and the ancient form merged in together. A bit of both. Because both are known by people, the ancient and the modern. Simply the words said by ordinary people. Well, the Archbishop of Canterbury as well. I don't think he counts as ordinary, but the rest of them are ordinary people. And at the end, saying simply, prayer is for everyone. Well, who could possibly object to that? Well, a lot of people. Though I don't think anyone could readily be offended. It's the Church of England, after all. We don't set out to offend anybody. Perhaps we should do now and again a little bit more. It might be quite useful. So, well, maybe that's fine. But you say yes to that one, and how would you feel another day going to watch a wonderful film at the Olympic Cinema, and at the beginning of that you have a minute-long commendation of any other religion, commending you to do something, well, perhaps that isn't quite as lovely as the Lord's Prayer. Are you okay with that? Is that everything? Is that fine? A minute in the cinema commending you to follow the way of the Jehovah's Witnesses? Or, well, who knows what? You choose. Maybe not quite so comfortable. So who is it that decides which ones are going to make you comfortable and leave you unoffended, and which ones are going to be a little bit too much? Many people feel it's an outrage that a film such as that should not be shown in our cinemas. I don't think I feel that way. I think there is an argument for saying the cinema, a captive audience, is not the place to put political parties' broadcasts in front of us and commendations to any particular religion in front of us. I could imagine, with an advert for a religion, somebody standing up and shouting at the film. And then who wants to shout against them? Maybe we have a brawl in the cinema before we even start. You know, it's a little bit different to an advert for Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola. And do we want to see religions alongside other products as adverts? Maybe that's not quite so right. But we would do well to pay attention to the Lord's Prayer and to immerse ourselves in it. It is a beautiful and wonderful prayer given to us by Jesus. That's why it's called the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus taught it to us. And it has been said by Christians down through the ages over and over and over again. Whether we say it in English or Urdu or Arabic or French or German, in modern English or ancient English, any form at all, it's the same. It's the Lord's Prayer taught to us. And perhaps for us in Advent, maybe saying it every day, might be a good way of remembering the importance of Advent. And right in the middle of that Lord's Prayer, one of the lines, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven." For Jesus comes as a king. Of a kingdom, to establish what is good and holy, just and true, and invites us to live as faithful citizens of that kingdom, to be good citizens of that kingdom, doing the things of the King, which is all those qualities that we admire, whether you are religious or not, of kindness and generosity, of making peace and building justice, of doing good, of demonstrating love to all. These are the values of the kingdom. Not always just nice, sweet things, sometimes quite tough and difficult things too. Those are the ways of God's kingdom, as we see in Jesus's own life. Not always meek and mild. Oh no. Sometimes very tough and very determined to stand for those things which are profoundly important. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, that we may do the will of the King. And so it is in these days of Advent that we are called to pay very close attention to the world we live in and what we can do to help to make it more like the world that God wills it to be, knowing that at some point there will be a reckoning, for we are promised that Christ will come again at some future date to reconcile all things and to judge the world, so that we will know once and for all what is good and what is evil, and there will be a reckoning. So it is worth us paying attention here and now, ready for that coming that will come sometime in the future, so that we are always ready, and to know that Jesus is with us now, in each and every moment. We don't simply have to wait for Christmas, for a Jesus moment. Every moment is a Jesus moment. But we must see that moment. We must be ready to receive that moment and to share it. So here is a King, and here is a kingdom that is better for the sharing. No film or book can make all the difference. The difference is made by human lives and by the stories we tell that share with others the importance of the Christ who comes, not simply as a religious figure to be worshipped, but as one who leads us into truth, who shows us the way, who is the Saviour of the world, my Saviour, hopefully your Saviour. And we are better to share that news than simply to wait for a film to tell other people. Let us be ready for that kingdom coming in our lives, in our world. Amen.